Good evening. Certainly good to be with you this evening. Where is everybody? Looking out tonight, I'm wondering where are the nine, as Jesus would say. But it's good to be here. I don't know about you, but I was really encouraged this morning to see all of the young people. The singing was just great, and I know we were all edified. I like these opportunities to be with the young people, to work with the young people at camp. It is a lot of work. I appreciate Brother Holton's prayer. By Friday, I promise you, I will be completely exhausted. But it is a good work, and I'm encouraged to see so many young people that want to learn. They're excited to know more about God, and that should be encouraging to all of us to see all of the young people praising God, learning His Word. And I'm thankful that I just have a small part in that. It's good to be able to open God's Word tonight and to be edified from God's Word. Tonight I want to begin with the Great Commission. And as we think about the Great Commission that was given to Jesus, I know it's familiar to all of us. We see that Jesus commissioned His people to go into all the world and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We see that after the church was established in Acts chapter 2, those who obeyed the gospel were called Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch in Acts 11, verse number 26. As you think about how this applies to the Great Commission, after a person becomes a Christian, we see that Jesus would charge His people in verse number 20 to continue to teach them. Continue to teach those who obeyed the gospel, who became Christians. And the point that we're emphasizing from the Great Commission is the Great Commission is twofold. We see that there is to be teaching before a person can be baptized, and then we see that there is to be teaching after a person is born again, after a person becomes a Christian. And what Jesus is emphasizing in Matthew 28, verse number 20, is spiritual growth. After we become a Christian, God wants us to grow. He wants us to develop into mature individuals. We understand that when a person obeys the gospel, they are a babe in Christ. And from that point, they are to grow and they are to mature as God's spiritual children. But as you think about spiritual growth, if a person has been a Christian for many years, that really doesn't mean that they are mature Christians. You could have somebody that's been a Christian for 30, maybe 40 years, but that alone doesn't mean that they are a mature Christian. Spiritual immaturity is a dangerous, dangerous thing. It reminds me of what the prophet Hosea said long ago in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." God says, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." But if we fail to grow as God's children, do you realize that we rob ourselves of good things? We rob ourselves of spiritual blessings that can be ours. Those who are spiritually immature will never know the blessings that they could have remaining an infant, remaining a babe in Christ. In Ephesians 1, verse number 3, we learn that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, but to be able to experience the fullness of those blessings, we must grow and we must mature in our understanding of God and our understanding of God's Word. Solomon said long ago in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 23, the desire, and here's the key, of the righteous is only good. The desire of the righteous is only good. And think about how that is applied to what we're talking about tonight. As I grow as a child of God and as I mature in my faith, according to Proverbs 11, verse number 23, it gets better and better and better. As Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, the outward man is perishing, but listen to it, the inward man is renewed. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how long you've been in the faith, if you're growing as a child of God, you experience that spiritual renewal, and it never stops. You continue to grow, you continue to mature, and God will continue to bless you. I'm convinced that's why when we turn to the New Testament, there is so much emphasis placed on spiritual growth. And it begins here with the Great Commission. This is what our Lord was emphasizing in the Great Commission. So many times we're excited and maybe even get in a rush to baptize people, but then we just leave them hanging, spiritually speaking, when we need to help them grow and develop and mature in the faith. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, and also Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. In both of those passages, in both of those contexts, Paul writing to the brethren at Colossae and Paul writing to the brethren at Philippi emphasized what we're talking about, because we see Paul's prayer for the brethren there at Colossae in Colossians 1 verse 9 and at Philippi in Philippians 1 verse 9. And Paul prayed that they would grow in a knowledge of God's Word, that they would grow in their understanding. Paul was praying for their spiritual development. It doesn't matter where you turn. That is what Paul was focused on. As he worked with various congregations, he was focused on their spiritual growth, their spiritual development. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15, Paul encouraged the brethren in Ephesus to grow up in Christ. To grow up in Christ. To the brethren at Galatia, in Galatians 4, verse number 19, in a very unique way, Paul was experiencing spiritual birth pains, he says, until Christ, listen to it, Galatians 4, verse 19, until Christ be formed in you. Again, what is Paul emphasizing? Until Christ be formed in you, spiritual maturity. And so just because you've been a Christian for a long period of time doesn't necessarily mean that you are a mature Christian. But this is something that we should all be interested in, because we can see from our Lord's words that He wants us to grow. Now, with that in mind, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And tonight we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. Because here in Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14, we're reading about some Christians that failed to grow. They had been Christians for some 20 to 30 years, but they stopped growing. They stopped maturing in the faith, and the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them to press on to spiritual maturity. In fact, tonight as we look at Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 for a few minutes, we could title this the Peril of Spiritual Immaturity. You see, as you go through the book of Hebrews, we see the peril of neglect in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews 3, we see the peril of unbelief. Those that came out of Egypt could not enter into the promised land because, Hebrews 3 verse 19, of unbelief. In chapter 4, you have the peril of disobedience. Chapter 5, we have, as I said, the peril of spiritual immaturity. Here are again our Christians that were not growing, and therefore they were neglecting their salvation. And if they continue to neglect their salvation, they too would not be able to enter the promised land. But as we turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 4, the writer is not talking about the land of Canaan. He's not talking about that land rest. No, in Hebrews chapter 4, he's talking about eternal rest. He's talking about heavenly Canaan. And so the writer in Hebrews 4 verse 11 encourages these immature Christians to labor to enter into that rest. But if we're not growing spiritually if we're not growing spiritually speaking, we're not going to labor to enter that rest. And that takes us back to chapter 2. We're going to neglect our salvation. Hebrews chapter 6, you have the peril of apostasy. In fact, when you look at chapter 6, those who failed to grow, if they stayed on that path, eventually they would, Hebrews 6, verse 6, fall away completely from the Lord. And so tonight, as we think about spiritual growth and make the application, a good question that all of us should ask ourselves is this: am I growing as a Christian? Am I growing as a Christian? Am I growing and developing like God wants me to develop? Is Christ being formed in me? Am I growing in the knowledge of His Word and an understanding of His Word? Maybe you're wondering in your mind, well, I think I am. I think I'm growing, but how do I know if I'm really growing as a Christian? Can I know? I think we can know whether or not we are growing as a Christian from Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Because what we have here in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 is marks, listen to me, of spiritual immaturity. In these few verses, you have several marks of spiritual immaturity. And if we highlight these marks of spiritual immaturity, beginning at verse 11, going down through verse number 14, we have something to examine ourselves by to see whether or not we are growing, to see whether or not we are developing as God's children. Well, here in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse number 11, we see the first mark of spiritual immaturity. The first mark of spiritual immaturity from the text is dullness of hearing. The writer says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." We'll come back to the point about many things to say, and we'll see how that ties in to the context here in the book of Hebrews. But we see that these Hebrew Christians, these Christians that came out of Judaism, have come to the point that they were now dull of hearing. And I want you to see that point. They came to the point where they were now dull of hearing. And even in the original language, it carries the idea that at one time you were eager to hear the Word of God. You were excited and enthusiastic to hear the Word of God, but you have become dull of hearing. We may say at one time, these Hebrew Christians were like the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17, verse number 11, they received the Word of God with all, listen to it, readiness of mind. They were welcoming the Word of God into their lives. They were excited and eager to learn more about God through His Word. And they searched the Scriptures to see if what was being preached is so. These Christians, again, at one point, they had that zeal. They had that eagerness. They were ready to listen. as James would say in James 1, verse number 19, we are to be swift to hear, ready and alert and willing to hear the Word of God. But as we go back to these Christians, over time, apathy settled in and they became dull of hearing, and that's why they were regressing spiritually speaking. They were going in the wrong direction. In Philippians 3, verse number 14, we're to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I like that terminology. We're to press. The idea, we are to press forward. We're not to go backwards. The children of Israel in Jeremiah 7, verse number 24, God says we're going backwards and not forward. These Christians, at this time, they were going backwards because they had become dull of hearing. They weren't growing in their faith. They were weak in faith. Remember what Paul says in Romans 10, verse number 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, as we think about the application, we have to ask the question again. Are we growing? In other words, are we like these Hebrew Christians? Are we dull of hearing? Or are we ready to hear the Word of God? Do we look for those opportunities to learn God's Word and to hear God's Word proclaimed? We have many opportunities in our day of time to hear the Word of God. Because of social media, because of technology, you have the ability to hear lessons every day. I know you get tired of hearing me, but you don't have to hear me every day, you see. You can get on your TV. There are different devices that you can buy where you can hear lessons all of the time. That's the kind of eagerness we need to have if we're going to grow, if we're going to mature spiritually speaking. Notice the second mark of spiritual immaturity from this context, verse number 12. For when for the time you ought, here it is, to be teachers. A failure to teach others is a mark of spiritual immaturity. Now maybe you're thinking, Clay, maybe you haven't read James 3, verse 1. Let not many of you be teachers. Well, as you look at James chapter 3, verse 1, and as you stop and consider the context, I believe James is talking about formal teaching as I'm doing tonight. Standing here behind the podium, directing your thoughts in the Word of God. Not everybody is required to stand behind the pulpit to deliver a lesson. But listen to me very carefully. Every one of us is required by God to be teachers. We have that responsibility to be teachers. Look at what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, when Paul says, the servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. Again, we're talking about spiritual maturity. Here are marks of spiritual immaturity. They were dull of hearing and they were not teachers. The writer says, by now you should have become teachers. One who could sit down and teach somebody, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, being skillful in the Word of God, teaching them the gospel plan of salvation. All of us, if we've been a Christian for some period of time, should be able to open the Scriptures and go through and teach somebody the plan of salvation. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 2, the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, we are to be ready to answer, to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. Now, does that responsibility fall just upon the preacher? Does that responsibility just fall upon the elders or the deacons? Or does that responsibility fall upon every New Testament Christian. When you go back to the Great Commission, Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world." That means you go into all the world. That responsibility has been placed upon every Christian. How are people, Romans 10, beginning at verse 10, how are people going to call upon the Lord if they haven't heard the gospel? You see, all of us have opportunities to share the gospel. We can share the gospel with our neighbors. We can share the gospel with our family members. We can share the gospel with our co-workers. As we look in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, as we look at these marks of spiritual immaturity, we can tell whether or not we are growing. If we're growing, again, we're going to be eager to hear the Word of God. We're going to be good students of God's Word, 2 Timothy 2, verse number 15. And we're going to want to share what we're learning with others. A mark of spiritual maturity. Look, as you continue to look at this context with me, we see another mark of spiritual immaturity as we pick it up in verse number 12. Again, he says, "For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Christ," or the oracles of God, "and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Another mark of spiritual immaturity is an improper diet. An improper diet, spiritually speaking. Physically speaking, you can go eat whatever you want. I really don't care about that. But spiritually speaking, we need to have a healthy diet. Feasting upon the Word of God. These Christians were still on the milk of God's Word. Now, as I said, most scholars agree from the time that this was written that these Christians had been Christians for some 20 or 30 years and they were still on the milk of God's Word. Now, there is a place for milk. Those who are babes in Christ. Paul refers to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, as babes in Christ. Those who just obeyed the gospel are babes in Christ. And they're on the milk of God's Word. They're on the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, you see. But they need to grow and they need to progress to solid food. And you see this analogy here in verse 12. You have milk and you have meat. Why does God use this terminology? I believe God is helping us understand the nature of spiritual growth, the nature of spiritual maturity, because we can understand. We understand what God is telling us as His children and wanting us to develop and grow. You look at that baby and you see how that baby craves that milk for 6 months to a year. But as that baby begins to get older, that baby wants more than milk. I'm watching William grow, and you see that, don't you? You see that change. Now Catherine wasn't looking the other day, but we were eating some chicken, and Brother Ray gave William a chicken bone, and he took that chicken bone, and he started licking it, trying to eat it. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't do that, because Catherine's fixing to run out here and let her dad know something. But he is interested. He watches people eat, and he's watching you. He wants some of that. Why? Because he's growing. He wants some solid food. And so it is, spiritually speaking, as we feast upon the milk of God's Word and as we are babes in Christ, over a period of time we're going to grow and we're going to press on to the meat of God's Word. Now, I want to share something with you from verse number 12 for you to ponder over. And I think it's an interesting thought. I don't know why, but I just realized this the other day from the context. And that's the beauty of studying God's Word. You're always learning. You are always seeing little nuggets of truth. And when I learn those nuggets of truth, I still jump for joy. It gets me excited to see something. Think about this thought here from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, as we think about the milk and the meat. What is the milk that the writer is talking about? What is the meat the writer is talking about? He says you're still on the milk of God's Word. You haven't progressed to the meat of God's Word. I think when we go back to the context, to me will help us see what the milk and the meat is. And when you stop and think about it, it just makes good sense how this progresses in the book of Hebrews. And I want to show you this from the book of Hebrews. When we begin in Hebrews chapter 1, we learn some fundamental principles about how God has spoken in these last days. God has spoken in these last days through His Son. And we see that Christ is superior to the prophets. He's superior to angels. When we go into chapter 2, we read about Christ who was made flesh. The Word became flesh. Let me suggest to you from Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. The milk that the writer is referring to has to do with those things that relate to Christ when Christ was on earth. His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Those things that a person must know and understand before they become a Christian. As I said, this book is written to Christians. They understood the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they understood the elements of Judaism and how the old law would point one. How the old law would be that tutor that would lead them to Jesus Christ. They understood the milk of God's Word. When we go out into all the world and teach the gospel, we're to teach the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We're to teach people the elements of the gospel and the plan of salvation. I believe you see that even from Hebrews chapter 2. And so perhaps the milk has to do with those things relating to Christ while He was here on this earth and how He fulfilled those Old Testament prophecies. But what about the meat that the writer is talking about? The meat of God's Word from the book of Hebrews. Perhaps the meat that the writer is talking about in the book of Hebrews has to do with those things that Jesus Christ is now doing for us in heaven. What He's doing for us in heaven. Well, what are you talking about, Clay? Can you give me an example? Go back, if you would, to the Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, we see something being developed that the writer is going to continue to build upon. But beginning here in chapter 2, verse number 17, we learn about Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. He is our high priest. You learn that beginning at Hebrews 2, verse number 17. Now notice Hebrews 3, verse number 1. We are to consider the apostle Jesus Christ, and notice this, and high priest. Chapter 2, chapter 3. When we come to chapter 4, verse number 14, we learn in chapter 4, verse number 14, we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has passed in to the heavens. As you continue to go through the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5, this is where it gets more interesting. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 5, we read about Jesus' priesthood coming after the order of Melchizedek. Quoting from Psalm 110, verse number 4. And so you go back to Hebrews chapter 5:11, of whom we have many things to say that are hard to be uttered. Again, what were those things that the writer was wanting to talk to them about? What was the meat that the writer was wanting them on? I think it had to do with Jesus Christ and what Christ is doing for us as High Priest. And the writer continues to develop this thought in chapter 7, talking about Jesus Christ and His priesthood coming after the order of Melchizedek. Not after the order of Aaron. Not after the order of Levi. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, of which Moses spoke nothing of. The writer is showing that there's been a change of priesthood. There's been a change of law. They were wanting to go back to the old law and the elements of the old law. Notice Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, I'd encourage you to study those. What the writer is saying, a lot of people think this is the ABCs of Christianity. There's a connection between Hebrews 6, 1 and Hebrews 6, verse number 12. The first principles of the oracles of God and the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What are the principles of the oracles of God? The principles of the doctrine of Christ from the book of Hebrews. I don't think it has to do with the ABCs of Christianity, because the writer says, therefore leaving. In the original, it means stop following, put asunder, put to the side. We don't put aside the fundamentals of Christianity, the ABCs of Christianity. We always lean upon those things. I believe the first principles of the oracles of God, the principles of the doctrine of Christ, have to do with the elements of Judaism. As the writer will go on to say, those beginning at verse 1, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Notice this, from dead works. Not from sins, but from dead works. Because the works of the old law, Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 3, had to do with the Mosaic law. Works of law could not justify. And so as you go through that list in chapter 6, I believe they relate to the elements of Judaism. And the writer is encouraging them to leave those elements of Judaism that pointed them to Christ and to move on to spiritual maturity, to learn more about Jesus Christ, who is serving as High Priest. Now, as we think about the meat of God's Word as it relates to Jesus Christ, who is our High Priest, as we see in chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus Christ, our High Priest, helps us when we are tempted. In Hebrews 4, verse 14, Jesus Christ, our High Priest, sympathizes with us in our weakness. In chapter 6, verse number 20, Jesus Christ, our High Priest, serves as our forerunner who's passed into the heavens. And because of Jesus, we can cross over. We have access into heaven. And then in Hebrews 7, verse number 25, we see Jesus, who is able to save those who come to Him. He is able to make intercession. That's the meat that the writer is talking about as it relates to Jesus Christ, our High Priest. They were wanting to go back to Judaism. The writer is saying, don't do that. You need to move on, chapter 6, verse 1, to perfection. Again, spiritual maturity. But we see the marks of spiritual immaturity in chapter 5, 11 through 14. Dullness of hearing. They were not teachers. By this time, they should have been teachers. We also see that they were on the milk of God's Word. But notice the last mark of spiritual immaturity in verse number 14. The inability to discern between right and wrong is another mark of spiritual immaturity. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of, notice that, full age, maturity, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. In Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 20, we learn that God doesn't want His children to live like the world. If you live like the world, Ephesians 4 verse 20 says, ye have not so learned Christ. If you live like the world, again, Paul says, you have not so learned Christ. We need to learn Christ. We need to grow spiritually speaking, to have our senses, our spiritual senses, exercised to be able to discern between good and evil. Those who are immature in the faith are going to make bad decisions. They're going to do things that they don't realize that are sin because, again, of their ignorance of the Scriptures. We don't want that to happen to us, spiritually speaking. We want to be mature in the faith. We want to educate ourselves, spiritually speaking, to have our senses exercised. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, we're to test all things and we're to hold fast to that which is good. How do we do that in light of what God's Word says? We think about the choices we make. We think about our beliefs, the things that we stand for, and we look to God's Word because God's Word teaches us what is right and what is not right. And when we learn what is right and what is not right, we're in a position to discern between good and evil. But listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 5 verse 20. Woe to him that calls evil good and good evil. Woe to that individual who gets spiritual truths and doctrines backwards. Woe to that person. What a warning that is for us as God's children. It is a mark of spiritual immaturity. God wants us to make good moral decisions. And the only way that we're going to be in a position to choose the good, to bring forth fruit unto God, is by knowing His Word, studying His Word, and living by His Word. God wants us to discern between good and evil. If we don't know the Scriptures, how are we going to discern between truth and error? The Apostle John says in 1 John 4, verse number 1, that there are a lot of false teachers that have gone out into this world. We can't believe everything that we hear. But how are we going to discern truth from error if we don't know the truth? Here are Christians that weren't growing. And we see those marks of spiritual immaturity. I hope as we think about these marks of spiritual immaturity, all of us in here will challenge ourselves to grow, to be eager to hear the Word of God, to learn God's Word to the point where we can sit down and teach somebody else. We need to strive to be on the meat of God's Word. And we need to learn to discern between good and evil. The question I asked at the beginning was this: are you growing? You're the only one that can answer that question truthfully. I'm the only one that can answer that question truthfully as I apply it to myself. But hopefully you see from the Scriptures tonight that God wants us to grow. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, if we can help you grow, if we can help you be a better person as a child of God, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.